From Capital Analytics, I'm Abby Maloney, and this is Invest Insights. Each week, we bring you perspectives, business advice, and more from the leading executives, entrepreneurs, and investors who are building, diversifying, and leading the way in the country's fastest-growing metro areas. Real leaders, real insights, right now. Welcome to Invest Insights. In today's episode, I speak with Chris Stewart, the Tampa Bay Market President for Centennial Bank, on how the bank rallied for the first rounds of the Payment Protection Program and plans to handle the forgiveness process. This podcast was recorded on September 17th, 2020. Chris, this cycle has surely been a cycle like none other. Tell us a little bit about how you've maintained your lending activity throughout the course of the last number of months.
I mean, this obviously unprecedented year, but even though we were highly focused on PPP and deferments and all the distractions, you know, through that, there's still business to be done. And we have managed to take a hold of the opportunities that we have and keep them in the pipeline. And we've been fortunate to have a good amount of that. You know, I think just as we talk to our team and schedule things, we take the skill sets of certain ones that highlight in PPP and deferments, and we let some of our other folks work on the opportunity. So it's been good.
There was much frustration and discontent for both the banks and business owners surrounding the rollout of the Payment Protection Program in both round one and round two. And I wanted to have your take on this general feeling of frustration. Has it subsided? Do you find it still prevalent with the clients that you're working with? And what does that mean for the forgiveness portion of the payment protection loans that is imminent?
Right. Great question. And, frustrations ran very high early on with the onset of the PPP program. And, the banks, the SBA, and our clients, we were learning this together as we were going. So it required a lot of patience on our clients' part, and it required a lot of persistence on our team's part, which we all did, and we all got through it. And everybody that applied for a PPP loan from us got their money that was eligible. So we were very thankful for those results. And obviously, you know, once they get their money, the stress levels of that part goes down. They still have their own stressors out there in the business world. But as we approach the forgiveness side of it, like you're talking about, you know, I'm expecting that the stress levels will go back up because every business wants their loan forgiven first, right? So, but there's a lot of people coming at us at one time. And our focus is primarily right now on the businesses 150,000 or more in terms of loan size, because we don't think that that's going to change. But we're trying to go a little bit slower with those under 150,000 because we think there's a chance that Congress might come out with some additional rulings and legislation that is favorable and make the process even easier. And we could all use that because that's easier on the businesses, it's easier on the bank, and it takes less resources. So we're hopeful that'll happen, but you know, we're prepared either way, and we've got a strong team ready to handle it.
While much uncertainty remains surrounding the future and long-term effects of the pandemic on commercial real estate, how do you expect commercial real estate financing to perform in Florida and the Tampa Bay area in the next 6 to 12 months?
Yeah, that's a great question. We've been fortunate. I mean, we are seeing a lot of people transition to Florida. I mean, I think the latest Census Bureau shows we still have 150 people a day moving to Tampa Bay. And, the demand for housing, multifamily and single family residents is very strong. And along with that goes all the businesses that will support that growth. So I think the outlook for the next 6 to 12 months is actually really good.
And tell us about the digital transformation over the past number of months. Many trends such as consolidation of retail branches and online onboarding of new accounts and services were accelerated during the pandemic. How are you balancing ways to streamline your services and outreach to clients?
Sure. That's an important part, obviously, when you're in a pandemic. But the nice thing is we had a lot of these products and resources ahead of time. I mean, we've had internet banking, online banking, we've had mobile banking, we have drive-up ATM. So there's plenty of opportunities that were out there to already kind of socially distance yourself. And what really happened was our clients that, have hard habits to break and they want to be in the branch, we're kind of forced to jump on board with this. And looking back, their thrilled with it. They're like, wow, this is very convenient. We love this aspect of it. It's safe. It's secure. I mean, it's really been a benefit, actually. That's been one thing that's come out of it that's been a nice surprise.
And what is your take on the economy's reopening here in Florida? Do you see measures that banks need to particularly take to ensure a safe landing as we look to the post-pandemic world?
Yeah, I think the reopening of Florida, I mean, you know, the government officials, I mean, that's a hard balance, right? I mean, it's a very serious pandemic, and yet you don't want your economy to go under. And I feel like we've done a really good job here in Florida, such that I think we're seeing that V-shaped recovery that we all hope for. And so that's encouraging. And I think they're taking the proper measures. I mean, everybody has their different tolerance levels. And again, we make ourselves available for Zoom and whatnot, but we also have some scheduled meetings. And I think the outlook is good. We're very encouraged.
You know, I've been talking to a lot of CEOs over the past number of weeks about the pandemic and where we are. I think if you were to talk to many of the CEOs in the earlier months of COVID-19, the outlook for fall was quite positive. We would be back to the offices, back to social gatherings, and here we find ourselves in September, and that doesn't seem to be the case. And so there has been a lot of frustrations surrounding the uncertainty. So I wanted to ask you, much like I've asked other CEOs, what have the past number of months taught you about resilience?
Well, that is a great question. And I've just been so impressed with my team and their ability to, you know, multitask and take on other tasks that we weren't expecting. And really beyond that, for them to step up and say, what else can I do? And I'm, you know, fortunate to have those kind of team members around me. And, you know, we did that in the spring. We'll be doing that again with the forgiveness. You know, it's certainly going to get really busy again. And it's really just shown what I have always known is the true colors of our bank employees here in the Tampa Bay market, as well as around the company. I mean, it's a very well-run company, and they support, you know, the team efforts. And it's been a really good experience, and, you know, one that, you know, we were tired for sure. At the end, we were running 24/7 a lot. We had some people volunteer for the midnight, you know, to 7 a.m. shift, and, you know, but everybody was up for it. And so I think just the willingness and effort put forth by everybody has just been a real positive and something we can move forward with.
You have been listening to Invest Insights. Be sure to follow, rate, and review this podcast to hear more. I'm Abby Malone. Thank you for tuning in.